you. Are you going home or going to the sea?
Well, I don't know anymore. I'm alone and I can't breathe the water of the river. Why?
It's a long story. Did you know there were two moons before and maybe two moons again? Just like you coming back, the two moons can come again or not. So I'm the first moon now. Is it the end? All I know is what some old humans told me. They try to make sense, and they tell me odd stories. Some are true, and some are not true, yet.
You're curious, but you never have asked me if I have a real name.
What is your real name?
This is Roniwi. Roniwi means the origin of thunder, wherever thunder originated. Roniwi.
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 Oh dear. Roniwi. Close.
Yeah, we're close. I'll just explain my real name because I know people are curious about it. Mm-hmm. Particularly Cabrillo students. Dance class, and I may teach there next year. I'm not sure yet.
I hope you do.
And the anthropology department asked me to teach there. What's his name?
Stan. Oh no, that's another professor.
Yeah, you know it if I said it.
I know Stan Rushworth. But I don't know the anthropology. It's in English.
Almost all native classes, no matter which college you go to, they'll say right in the book, in this Native American study, or American Indian study, but that comes under a department, and the department is always anthropology. I keep rebelling against that. Because anthropology has really done some damage to the native people, and to keep validating them, but to keep validating the calculated damage that anthropology has done to the native being is a little too much to take. The Native studies then would be under a department that in fact was assisting the military more for destroying the Native people than saving the Native people. So anyhow, that's all I had to say about anthropology today. I'll talk about anthropology another day. But my American English funny name is Daryl Wilson. Wilson was given to my great grandfather, Jerry Wilson. He worked for a man named Wilson. And that's the way everybody got their name before. So I don't think that's a very nice way to get a name, particularly when in my country there was the exact way for the native male to to acquire a name. Everyone, male, was named after the landscape where they were born. This way, not only are you more becoming a functioning part of the landscape and the earth, but you also are identifying to your birthplace and your homeland every time you say your name. And anybody born in the country would know where you're from and who you are automatically just by your name. I was born in a valley that's called Quatsidi in the old way. Today it's called the Fall River Valley. But Quatsidi was made long ago because there's a big beautiful river that runs under Mount Shasta, and it wanted to come up in a beautiful place. So it came up in Quatsidi. Beautiful river there today. It's called Fall River by American. In the old way, it's called Salme Ijoti. I was born on the north side of Salme Ijoti. Dropped right out on the ground like a little bear or a little deer. Probably not as cute, but I was there. Anyhow, on the north side. So in the old way, my name is Salme Ijoti.
Salme Ijoti.
Salme Ijoti. Not me, M-A-Y-M-A, meh. M-A-E, meh, meh. More like M-A-E, but not E. Me, Salme Ijoti. Almost E, but no E. A little hard to do.
Salme Ijoti. So the underground water wanted to rise up because of the beauty.
In 1957, I was just out of high school, and I had nowhere to go and nothing to do. So I went like everybody else, went home to the homeland just to be somewhere and feel better about myself. But in the homeland, there's some very wise people. Wise beyond being precious. One of those people was an old man named Craven. He lived in what's now called a Big Valley, which is east of Fall River, 15 or 20 miles. And he wanted to teach us a lesson one day, and always the old timers used nature to teach a lesson. So it was myself and my two brothers and my two cousins. The cousins came up from Sacramento for this summer. We could all run together wild out in the country. And we did. But Craven wanted to teach us something. So he called for us. And when I say called for us, it doesn't mean he stood somewhere and yodeled till we showed up. It means he threw a thought to our, from his mind to our mind. And we picked up on that thought and knew he wanted to see us.
Mm.
So we'd go to his house. It happened all the time with the old time people.
Mm.
It's the new time people. Almost like foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
But Craven said he wanted to see us just at sundown, before the moon started up. We didn't realize at that point it was a full moon coming up.
Mm.
So, dark outside. He took us out into the big field where he lived. We waited a few minutes, and then the moon started coming up. It was a big, massive, huge moon, just looking over the horizon. And it came up, it got bigger and bigger. And it was almost right here, you could touch it. And you could see it. The scars on it and the scratches and the holes. Damage that was done to the moon. But that's why he wanted us to come there, to see that moon during the full moon at just the right time so we could see all of the detail. Then he told us a story about long ago. He pointed at the moon and he said, "What do you call that?" We all said, "Moon." He said, "No, that's the first Earth." And of course, all of us almost fell over. That's the first Earth. And then this must be the second Earth. Yes, this is the second Earth. We felt better. We didn't know what we were until he said, "Okay." He said, "The Earth, the first Earth, was just like this one. Had trees and water, animals and birds and butterflies and people. Had everything, just like this one." But two thinkings came from somewhere. He called thought thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Two thinkings came from somewhere. We don't know exactly where, but they came. One thinking said, "This is my, the moon belonged to him or them." And the other thinking said, "No, there are children coming. We've got to save this earth for children who are coming."
Mm-hmm.
And those two thinkings got in an argument. And they argued and argued and argued, and they got in a fight. And they fought and fought and fought, and they got in a war. And they warred and warred and warred. A big war. A terrible big war took up the whole world. The side that wanted to defend the earth for children coming used up its half defending itself. So the moon was used up on that half. The half that wanted the moon for itself, for selfish reasons, used up its half of the moon, assaulting the thinking that wanted to save it for children coming. And the moon was all used up. And one day, it caught on fire. And there wasn't enough water to put it out. It burned and it burned and it burned to what it is today. Then he let that settle in our thought for a while. And he continued his lesson. Because the lesson was about this earth. And he said, look at the first earth. Look at it good. So we looked at it. Some scars and scratches and, you know, looks like where bombs landed, boom. And all the destruction. He says, can you see that war? I said, yes, we could see it. And he said, this one, he meant this earth, where we were standing at that time, listening to it. This one, almost same. Meaning, we, this earth, and the thinking on this earth, in 1957, were very near what the thought pattern was on the moon, the first earth, long ago. How some people want to claim it all for themselves, other people want to save it for children, or for just to save it. So there's those two thoughts present. And he said, soon. Oh no. We thought, oh no. Soon. It was really the way he said soon really caused chills to go all the way through us. Because we thought too soon might be in the morning.
Oh.
Or while we're sleeping tonight. But anyhow, he gave us a little time. But he said that this earth is nearing the situation that was on the first earth long ago, before the fire. And he said, you can't prepare for it, and you can't hide from it. Soon, two moon. I asked him, do you mean two moons and no earth? He said, yes. Well, that didn't give us too much hope, because in 1957, I think everywhere across this country, every time there were two people standing talking, they were trying to figure out how to change everything if you have to blow it up. And out of that came riots and the civil movement and different things like that. Insurrection. So we were thinking that soon meant very, very soon. But we can see that there is, it is to thinking here. There's the private property. Keep out. No trespassing. This is mine. Mentality. You go to jail, I shoot you. There's that mentality. There's the other mentality that wants green trees for children. A garden for children. Peach blossoms and strawberry blossoms for children. So we have two sides coiling up right now, and it won't do any good to try to hide from it. So I guess the best thing to do is to meet it head on and be proud of what you did. That's all I think. Anyhow, some of the students at Cabrillo College have heard some of this. So now you can hear the whole thing. I usually didn't have enough time to talk about it because I always talked about something before, like I should have just now. I should have, first of all, explained the function and purpose of the mind and the function and purpose of the brain. Because so many people are absolutely convinced that the mind is somehow tangled up with the brain, and the brain is in a little bone on top of your shoulders, and that's the extent of it. But it's not. According to the old people, which almost everything I talk about is according to the old way. The old ones say, when it's critical, think with your mind. Think with your mind. And then they qualify that, just like I did. They say, you think your mind is in the brain, don't you? Somewhere on your shoulders. Yes, I thought so. I was taught that.
I did until you emailed to me. I don't anymore.
I was taught all of these things again and again and again and again. Not that I wanted to learn them, but I was beat into me. Oh, no, no, here's the mind. From the beginning, the first day, your ancestors experience how to live together, how to hunt together, how to fish together, how to sing together. There were rough places. Sometimes they go bear hunting and get too excited and jump around and grab the bear, and the grab bear grab him right back. That was kind of dangerous. So from that experience, the ancestors realized, don't grab the bear, especially if he's cornered. And that came to you from the first day. But everything that happened in here with your ancestors from the beginning came rolling down history, accumulating like a snowball on top of a mountain. And all of that knowledge, wisdom, information, experience came to you before you were born. When you were born, you were born complete. You could think, you could dream. You could be hungry. You could do everything. Like a little deer. It's got to be able to jump up and run if a mountain lion comes looking up. So from the first day, the little deer has to fear, has to know which direction to go, has to know when to jump, when to dodge. It has all of that knowledge already in it. Before it's born. Humans too. All of the wisdom, all of the experience comes in the form of the mind. The brain is something that sits on top of your shoulders, wrapped in a bone, that sometimes is almost worthless. And somebody thinks with their brain, they could get in trouble a lot quicker than if they thought with their mind, because the brain tries to function by itself. The mind is already, and an entire ages of knowledge. You keep validating. Hey, are you recording this?
Yes.
Okay. So I explained one part of Two Moon. The Two Moon is a series, a combination of many thoughts. I wrote a book and called it Two Moon about this thing we're talking about. I think it has 32 chapters. The old people said, okay, so there is two moons, no way to hide. So everything's going to burn up. But that is not the end of life. Life continues. Not in the form we're taught it to be, but in the form it's going to continue as. Nobody can dictate that. All you can do is accept it. But there doesn't have to be a true moon anyhow. Thought being the most powerful thing in the universe was made first. Then, according to the creation legend, then thought, I want to be something. So thought itself into voice. Then there was a voice in the vastness. Then thought again and said, that's not such a very pretty thing, voice. So he said, okay, let's change it into song. And that's where this whole universe came from, the song. So first there was thought, there was voice, then there was song. So that means kind of like song then is the third most powerful element in the universe. There is no ending to this story, Two Moons. It goes to a certain place and it stops there and it thinks and thinks and thinks and thinks. And then it realizes how important song is today, as important as it was when the universe was shining into being. So we know if we continue on a path, there will be two moons and no earth. But the old people also gave us a way to make adjustments in the universe and with ourselves, so this does not come to be. After old Craven told us the story of First Earth, I was really worried for a long time. What could possibly happen? What could we do? There's absolutely no defense for this thing. And I guess the old grandma could read my mind, because my brain was just a fumbling little object in those days. So she's looking at my mind and saying, well, he's worried about this thing. I should tell him the rest of the story. So she said, come to breakfast. Old ladies always make fabulous breakfast. Bacon fried just right, pancakes over easy, eggs, magic eggs, sometimes fried potatoes, just magic breakfast. So they invite you to breakfast when they want to tell you something useful. I went to, I was by myself, I went to her house. Is that the bucket there? Mm-hmm. I went to her house and she had a basket. She had made one of those baskets with a lid on. And she said, I'll show you something, but don't touch it. Let's get ready. I'll show you something, but don't touch it. But you have to listen to a story first. She said, I know you went to see Craven. I know he told you, and two men. I know you're here because I want you to be here. Because you must hear another part of this story. Because you worry about death and destruction. And you shouldn't. Just don't. Well, what am I supposed to think about? She said, one day, you must gather all of the children, take them to a mountaintop, and have them sing a love song to Mother Earth. Their song will go to Mother Earth, but the song will also go to the great powers in the universe. It created all that we know and all we cannot know. That's where the song will go. But the song must come from children, at dawn or sunrise. I was thinking, Native children? I guess she knew what I was thinking. She said, the universe doesn't wonder what kind, where I could wonder. So I got straightened out there. So she meant all of the children of all of the world singing a love song to Mother Earth, and so the universe can hear. And the universe will make the necessary adjustments. How do I do that? She said, it's a big job. First, you must be responsible. Next, you must respect everybody, everywhere. And you must travel and tell the story so the people hearing the story will think about their children singing a love song to Mother Earth. And the big people can go and sing, but the universe might not listen to us, but it will listen to children. It has been many moons since anybody sang a love song to Mother Earth. She's sick today. Too much Jojawa, too much badness, too much sickness. Jojawa. So the next thought, and she's looking right at my mind and not my brain. First thought was, okay, what is this song? What does it sound like? What does it look like? Where is it? Can I find it somewhere? So I was worried about how do you teach children all around the world to sing a love song to Mother Earth if you don't know what it is. Where it is. She said, think with your mind. Every child born is born complete. We're often told they're born empty. But they're not. They're born complete. In that completeness, in the child's heart, there's a song that lives in there that wants to get out so bad they have a hard time keeping it in. They don't know what the song is about. They don't know why it's in there. But you explain it to them that the song is already in their heart. So they go out at dawn and sing the song that is in their heart already, because that's what the universe is listening for. It's a true love song to Mother Earth. So that part was explained. Okay, I can understand that. And I was thinking, how is this going to work? There's different time the sun comes up everywhere. So how do you have everybody sing at dawn? But she's read my mind again. She said, yes, the sun comes up different time. Here in China and Russia and Alaska and everywhere else, it's a different time. But dawn is all the same. Sunrise is all the same. So then I'm thinking, I then take the children to the mountaintop and sing at dawn in New York. Take them to the mountaintop to sing in Tennessee take him to the mountaintop to sing. In the Rocky Mountains, take him to the mountaintop to sing. Here, at dawn or sunrise, it would be all around the world. As dawn breaks, sunshine spreads across the earth. That is the way it's supposed to be. So I got some demographics straightened out and realized what she was saying. So prevent a two moon. We must all take responsibility and respect everything. I don't think she just meant me. She said you. She meant everybody you're ever going to come in contact with, too. So we all have a responsibility. We all have a duty to respect everything, everywhere, everybody. We have a greater duty to our children to take them to the mountaintop and to explain to them that the love song is already in their heart and they will sing. You can edit this part out, but there are two little girls. And now after Grandma told me about the need for children to sing at dawn, she brought her basket, kind of like this, but bigger, with a lid on it. This one has a lid. And she said, you can look, but you can't touch. Do not touch. So she took the lid off. And I looked in there, kind of dark in her house, and I could see a ball. I thought, oh, she has a little basketball or something in there. Wondering why she'd show me a basketball in a basket. Couldn't figure out what she was doing. And she said, look at it, careful. So I looked at it as hard as I could. She said, listen, don't listen with your brain, listen with your heart. So I listened, there was this beautiful, beautiful song in all languages of the world, children singing. She said, here's how you do it. It's beautiful. And she put the lid back on her basket. She looked at me and her basket vanished. Just vanished.
Here.
It just vanished. I knew she was a powerful person, but I didn't realize the velocity and volume of her power. I asked her what had happened to the basket. She said, it's on its way. Like it's we'll be going to somebody else, somewhere else, telling a story about two men at some point, and she'll show the little world, miniature world, with the songs of the children to somebody else, somewhere else. It's on its way. And it was on its way. I have no idea what direction and where or what, but it's on its way. To bring the message and the song to life. And we're going to benefit from out of that. many of us have to mend our ways instead of being mean and judgmental and demanding and be respectful. Instead of throwing garbage out in the earth and in the water, be responsible and do things that are necessary. So that basically is the story of Two Moon, but Two Moon really begins at the beginning, at the beginning of the beginning. The old people talk about the beginning. It's long before we assume the beginning was. The science would tell us, oh, this happened. Oh, big boom somewhere. All these things happened. They distort their story until they think they've convinced you. They never have convinced me of anything. I don't particularly enjoy being around scientists or preachers. But we have the pattern. The old ones say the beginning was in the land beyond the stars. And in that land beyond the stars, you were created long ago. Everything about you was created there. It just appears here. This feast happened before the first star in this universe was sung into being. So we have an ancient, ancient, ancient history with the universe. I try to explain to students particularly our connection to the universe. If I can take them out at night and show them the stars and name the stars that they didn't even realize were there. It just was there, it wasn't there. Name the stars and name all of the things in the universe, because that's what the old ones did. They knew those things. They didn't have to guess them, and there was no way to study for them. They were born knowing those things. It's like we're all born knowing those things. Education just suppresses most of our natural instincts. Instinct is to use the mind. Education says use your brain. So we're retarded our first day in school. And this conversation will get back to the beginning. We're starting at Two Moon. We'll work our way back to the beginning. So the next step is to get prepared for the next step backwards, which is not backwards at all. It's only in the proper direction. But we have to take those steps, understanding and knowing, because if we don't understand and don't know, doesn't do any good to try to create these things. You wind up telling everybody a big bang made everything. You gotta guard against that.
that was Dr. Darrell Babe Wilson. And he truly is a legend in his own time. He was taught by his elders and is more willing, extremely willing, to share those teachings. And he has a web page. I have to get the address, but if you Google Darrell, D-A-R-R-Y-L, Babe Wilson, you can read a lot of his manuscripts and articles and get some information about his published book, The Sun Went Down. And I'll be sharing more about him this following year. We periodically will be meeting. But with me here are my co-hosts, Cosmos and Cruzmos. We're all here at the moment. It's Coral Reef and Alan. And Alan wants to share with you a little bit about his show next week.
Oh, I'm swimming at the end of the river, long ago.
And then Coral's going to be coming on shortly, playing some jazz, and she has some real interesting guests that she'll probably talk about. And here's Alan, and thank you for listening.
Well, hello there. My show is going to be next Thursday from 4 to 5, and we have a special guest coming on.